Who's enjoying going through this gift of the Holy Spirit? I'm really enjoying it, and I hope that you are finding things in your life where you're like, oh, that makes sense, because I've always had a tendency to help people. I've always had a tendency to see who's hurting and reach out to them and invite them into my home and do that. And now I see that that's not just me being me, but it's me being the vessel empowered by the Holy Spirit to do His work here on earth. Because that's what we're here for. We're here to do His work. I'm really having a good time going through this. And I'm having a good time seeing you guys discover that, oh, you've got a spiritual gift, and encouraging each other to, even if you might not have a gift, encouraging you to step up and do that, because all the gifts that are empowered by the Holy Spirit are the character of God, and we're all called to be His character. So our memory verse for this week was Jude 1, 20 and 21. It says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." 1 Corinthians 12, it starts with, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters." Now, we are talking about gifts, right? Has anybody ever received a gift? Sean has. Anybody ever received a gift that you had to pay for? No. Because if it was a gift you had to pay for, it wasn't a gift, right? Amy, my beloved, she called me over the, I guess it was in May or June, and I had just pulled up, I just got a notification from my debit card, and it showed Otsego Christian Academy a bill. And I was like, whoa, what'd she buy? And then she calls me, and she was like, "Hey, you won't believe what I just won." And I was like, "What did you win?" She was like, "I won this beautiful plant from Sweet Meadows. It's going to take up the whole front, and it's beautiful. And then I won this, and I won this." And I was like, "Honey, there's something you don't realize. I saw the bill. You didn't win anything. You bought it." She was like, no, "This plant is gorgeous. And what I paid for everything was less than the plant was worth." I was like, "Okay, you got really good deals and you supported a great cause," right? But that wasn't a gift, right? Gifts are free. Gifts don't cost us anything. You can't earn them and you can't buy them. You can't make God give you a better gift, because He knows the best gift for you in the situation that you're in, right? You can't boast about your gift because you had nothing to do with it. These are gifts for those that follow Jesus, that the Holy Spirit gives us so we can be His hands and feet, and He knows what's best needed for His creation, right? For the ones, He knows what's best for the ones that follow Him, and He knows what's best for the ones that don't yet know Him. And His gifts are for everyone. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The gift is not for yourself, it's for the common good of everyone. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, same one giving the gift. To another faith by the same Spirit, and that's what we're going to talk about today. To another gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To one other miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, still in another, the interpretation of tongues, and these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as he determines. If you are a follower of Jesus, that's talking about you. Every person has a gift for the common good of his body. Amen? God, I thank you that you've given us each. I thank you that you've trusted us to be your hands and feet on the earth, God. God, as we talk about faith today, I pray that you would raise up within us more faith, that you would increase our faith so we can do what you've called us to do, so we can do the plan that you have, God. As we open and we read your word, God, just show us life. Show us what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot an announcement, but it's a good time right now. Ann Bethany, she's the pastor over at Mountaintop. She said there is a Pastor Jim Jordanson and some other people will be ministering at Mountaintop Christian Fellowship on August 18th. That's Friday evening. On the 19th, Saturday, and then on Sunday at 4 p.m. In the evening. It's going to be good time, first off. I don't see it here what it's for. But there's a conference of some sort. You know what it's for, Precious? Go over there and see if you want to go. So, okay, so we're going to talk about faith. What exactly is faith, first of all? That's what we're going to talk about, right? The dictionary says it is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. This restores one's faith in politicians, the dictionary says. I don't think there's nearly enough faith for that, though. Similarly, it's trust, belief, confidence, conviction, credence, and reliance. Faith also means strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Religion, church, sect, denomination. It also is a system of religious belief. So what is faith? I need a volunteer. Abby, come stand right here. Put your arms out. Right there. Arms out. Okay. Now, okay, this is faith, right? This is faith. Okay, just fall backwards. Oh, she wanted it. She's only got a little faith. Okay. Okay. This is faith right here. Trust fall. Okay. Got it. You're good. Okay. Was that faith? Did she have faith? Okay. Round of applause for Abby. Abby did not die. When I think of faith, I think of people like George Mueller, right? George Mueller, he was a Christian evangelist in England. And he saw in England there was a lot of poor kids, right? And they kind of took care of the really wealthy people, and these poor kids, they were falling by the wayside, much like a lot of kids in America. And so he opened an orphanage, and he always trusted God for everything. He didn't ask people for food, but they brought it. He didn't ask people for money, but it just showed up, right? His faith was in God to provide the needs for the orphanage. And there were like 300 kids. And there was a story where the orphanage had run out of food. They were all out of food. And can you imagine, as the leader of the orphanage, what you would do if you wake up, you've seen over the last few weeks your food supply getting less and less and less, and you wake up and you're like, whoop, today's the day, there isn't any. Some people would freak out. Some people would, you know, start putting on Facebook, hey, just saw there's no food and there's still 300 kids here. Got to do something, bring your stuff. You know, some people would be like, hey, if you want a gift from God, all you have to do is sow into my orphanage. Telling people they have faith, but they don't really have faith. But George, what did he do? He freaked out in the coolest way. He was like, okay, so he says to the head mother person that's taking care of the kids, he says, hey, it's breakfast time. She's like, yeah, George. but there's no food. He's like, it doesn't matter. It's breakfast time. Bring everyone down and sit all the kids down. It's time for breakfast. And she's like, okay, I've seen this before. I know what to do. So they got everything down there. The kids are all ready to eat. They bow their heads and they pray, right? And what does George do? He thanks God for the food. Now, if there had been a reporter there that day, he'd have probably been like, this guy's a nut. There's no food here. Thanks God for the food, and then he waits. Not very long. Ding dong. A baker, he's like, dude, I don't even know how this happened, but I baked way too much bread today. Can you use any? Yes, as a matter of fact, I can. Fed them all 7 baskets. No, wrong story. Fed them all. They had enough bread. A very short time later, a milkman going, they didn't have refrigerated tractor trailers back then, his cart breaks right in front of the orphanage. Now, milk spoils very fast. He says, I don't know what to do. I've got 10 jugs of milk here. Maybe this place could use it. Hey, could you use any milk? I've got some. That's the kind of faith that I want right there. Pray for it before it happens and then wait, right? So, always the food showed up. Always the needs were met in the orphanage. So, let's go to the Bible, because that's a really good place. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. This is referred to in the Bible as the Hall of Faith. Like this, like y'all should just read this every day if you want to be encouraged. There is so, this chapter will lead you on so many rabbit trails here and there that I encourage you to go down often. It's your homework assignment for, I'd say, the week. It'd take you a lot longer than the week. So Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Now, remember what the dictionary said. Like, faith is believing in something, right? Faith, the Bible says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, and then he's going to go through and say, this person did this, this person did this. By faith, verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. The stories about his faith continue over and over. Abel probably had the gift of faith. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you want to please God? Have faith. The only way to please God is through our faith. And where do we get that faith? God. God is the only one that gives faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen. In holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, as this is by keeping with the faith. Can you imagine? Like, just imagine a time when everything is going pretty darn good, and then there's this crazy dude that shows up on the scene. Now, it hadn't rained yet, right? The world had not seen reign at this point. And Noah says, I'm going to go build something. I'll be back. And he walks over and he starts building this humongous thing. And his friends are like, he's lost his mind. And he builds for a long time. They're like, dude, you're crazy. There's no water coming from the sky. And it's certainly not going to flood the whole earth. You're talking gibberish. And he's like, no, God said it. I believe it. I'm going to act as though it's going to happen. And he was faithful, and he continued to build and build and build, and the ark is huge. And then God's like, good. And then the rain came, right? And then he flooded. Like, at what point did everyone that used to mock him, did they transition and be like, oh, shoot, dog. It's going down. Like, when the rain started, when the first rain hit their bald head, it was probably traumatizing. And they were like, shoot, that must be the rain that he talked about. And if it's raining, probably the rest of what he said is going to happen also, right? By verse 9, no. What? Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs with him of the same promise. Anybody ever have God tell him to go someplace that you didn't know where it was, or you didn't know why you were going there? You're like, this is weird. Why do I have an inclination? Why am I feeling tugged to go over here? And then you encounter somebody who needed to hear about Jesus. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, as he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that they were promised. And so from this one man, as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died, and they did not receive things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. And instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead because it didn't make sense. You know, everyone around him is like, hang on, no. You said that God said through him is going to bring you nations of people. Like, Abraham, you can't really kill him if he's the one that's going to bring everyone to you, right? And Abraham's like, no. God promised that. But the God also said that I'm supposed to do this. So, God's always right. He must have a plan. The plan must be that I'm going to sacrifice my son to him, and then God's going to raise him back up to life. That's faith right there. In a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from dead. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Like, imagine being Elon Musk. He's pretty wealthy, right? Imagine being Elon Musk's son and saying, no, I'm just going to go over here in Utica, and I'm going to live in the foster care system because God has called me to the foster care system up here. That's faith right there. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And remember a couple weeks ago, I told you they had been doing some digging or some stuff in the Red Sea. And like recently, they discovered like all these chariots and bones on the bottom of the sea. I wonder how they got there, right? There's a story. You should read it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Can you imagine being out following your leader and he's like, yo, I talked to God. He told me what to do. I got a plan. We're going to march around in the heat and we're going to march around it 7 times. And then we're going to shout and the walls are going to come crashing down. Modern day, that's when 99% of the followers would have been like, peace out, bro. You've lost your mind. I have, there's a link between having faith, having an enormous faith, having the amount of faith God requires from us, and the world looking at us and thinking we're crazy, right? There will come a point when you look around and everyone's looking at you like you're crazy. And I think right then, get ready, because God's going to do a miracle through you. When you give God that amount of, when you give him that amount of will in your life, say, you know what? I'm going to trust you. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to look like a fool. I don't care. I really believe you're telling me to do this. And you step out and you do it, God will meet you there. God will meet you there. Verse 31, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient, even though she lied to them, right? And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith, they conquered kingdoms. Because God said, you go out there. Yeah, I know there's 400 million of them, and there's 27 of you, but you go and let me do the work. I know you're very outnumbered, but you've got me on your side. You're going to be okay. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, which we're called to do here, and gained what was promised. who shut the mouths of lions, quench the fiery flames, and escape the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. I've got to tell you, it's way more exciting in life to walk through leaning on God. It's way more exciting to go through life with Him by your side, with Him fighting your battles, knowing that you're going to get through, right? I'm not saying, you know, just blindly go into a fiery furnace. But if God says, hey, go into the furnace, I got your back. Not only do I have your back, I'm right with you. Let's go together, actually. Cool things happen. Quench the fiery flames, escape the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. We were singing that song today. Every miracle that was on that list, I've seen cancer disappear. All those, every miracle I've seen. Raising the dead, that was the one I was like, that one. I haven't seen it, but I know I'm gonna. But then I was reminded of George Navalano. How long was he dead? 23 minutes. 23 minutes. Ben, sitting there doing CPR, calls me, says, I was sure he was dead. You couldn't beat on him. He says, when the EMT got there and I saw them do CPR, I knew that I had killed my dad. Because I'm doing CPR like this, because I love him. And they came in and they're like, boom, boom, boom. And he was like, I was not doing the right thing. You remember that? He says, I was not doing it nearly hard enough. But remember who was there? God was there. 23 minutes, not breathing, on the floor because of living in the middle of nowhere and everyone's at a picnic or whatever, you know? Doctors, I was in that hospital room every morning. And so were a lot of people. I went there one day, they're like, who is this man? I was like, it's not who he is. It's who his God is. I said, he serves Jesus. He follows Jesus. He's the Son of the Most High God. I mean, that was just a good time. So I certainly consider that being raised from the dead. Verse 36, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Sounds great, doesn't it? The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. These are the heroes of the faith, right? I just look at that, I'm like, whoa. I read that chapter and I was so encouraged. And then I was a little bit discouraged. Because I was like, yo, I'm not like them. I want to be, but I'm not quite like them. I want to be like them. I want to have faith in something that I was told from my parents, grandparents, great parents. I mean, this was just indoctrinated into them. It became who they were. From the time they were born, it was ingrained into their DNA. Faith that said, someday in the future, there's going to be a birth. The Messiah for all mankind is going to be born. Your redeeming Savior is coming sometime. Probably going to be a while, but he's coming. Not sure when, but live every day of your life like he's coming tomorrow, right? Like he's coming today. Faith that says, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where. As a matter of fact, I don't know most things about it, but I know he's coming. And I'm going to be looking, and I'm going to be ready for that time. Fun fact, none of the people mentioned in that chapter, even saw what they had faith in. But it didn't matter. They never saw the Messiah, but it had no effect on how they lived. It didn't affect them, and God treated them exactly as though they had received it. Right? So them actually receiving it to God, it didn't make any difference. He was ready for them. So let's go to Hebrews 11 in the King James says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? And in the NIV we just read, it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about we do not see. I love both of these. I went back and forth, and I was like, because I grew up on the King James in this. And I was like, I love that. It's the substance. It's what we're hoping for. But then the NIV is pretty darn good. It's important to realize that faith and hope are two very different things, right? Like it says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things that we don't see. And you know what happens when you exercise your faith? You start to see. But faith comes first. And then you see what's starting to happen. Everybody, every single person hopes for something. But we need to take the promises of God and what he says about us, and we need to turn that into faith. We need to walk as though it's already happened, that he has already done what is needed for them, right, to do. So we need to take his promises, because if God says it, just like the heroes, we need to believe it and walk as though it's happened. Do you guys ever remember that movie, Facing the Giants? My favorite. The favorite scene that I remember in it, at least, is they were talking in the hallway, and the guy says, "There's a story about two farmers who both desperately needed rain. They both prayed for rain because they needed it. They both prayed for rain, but only one farmer went out. They both prayed for rain, but only one of them went out into the field and actually prepared for the rain to happen, right? One of the farmers hoped that there would be rain, and then he went into the other room to watch television and kind of see what happened. The other farmer had faith in God that there would be rain, and he went out, he started working, he prayed, he went out, started working, he tilled the ground, got the rocks out, did everything that he needed to do. He did his part because he knew God would do his part and bring the rain that he knew was coming. That's a good story, right? But here's where it gets real. What kind of farmer are you? What kind of church are we? What do we represent to our community, right? Like, do we have faith? Do we trust God for what he says. When the world looks at us, when we come in hard times, and we will come into hard times, how do we react when things happen to us, right? It's a good question. It's something to think about, because we are called to transform the lives of those around us. Our community should be transformed through this church. So, where does faith come from? God. God is the only one who gives faith, right? You can't buy it at Walmart. Unfortunately, that would be very convenient. It only comes from God. Who here believes that they have the gift of faith? That's cool. Some weeks there's like, we talk about a gift and one person raises their hand. But this one's pretty good. Like, the gift of faith, I think, maybe just because I'm talking about it today, I think I am most grateful for the gift of faith. I think, I believe I have the gift of faith, and I am very grateful for that. But even if you don't have the gift of faith, you can increase your faith. Even if you don't have the gift of faith, who here believes they have some faith? Every single person has some faith, right? If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, that amount of faith came from God, so you could receive Jesus, and you have enough faith to follow him as Savior, knowing, hoping, having faith that through following him, you'll have eternal life, right? You know what really amazes me? You guys all have like steel toes on, hard hats. It amazes me, I'll be honest, that we can believe that God sent his son to earth to give us, to redeem us and save us and give us eternal life. But it's hard to believe that he can heal our boo-boo, right? To me, it's easier to believe that he can heal my cut on my finger that I got from sticking it in a saw. It's hard for me to believe that, but it's easier for me to believe that this guy in the sky sent someone who turned into a baby, came up, died, went down, whoops, Satan, took my sin on himself, and that enabled me to have a forever relationship with the God of the universe. Obviously, I believe that. But I believe so much more than just that. But very oftentimes, that's where our faith stops, right? We can have faith for eternal life, which everyone should have faith for eternal life. And that faith comes from God. But he does call us to have more faith in that. All faith comes from God. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. Not by works, so you can't boast," right? All saving faith comes from God, because otherwise it becomes, look what I did. I'm better than you. Like, whatever. You're not better than anybody. You had nothing to do with the faith that you received to see Jesus, right? That all came from God. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought." This is really good. I'll read that again. "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So every person, God, when you were created, said, ooh, let's give, he needs a little faith, he needs a little faith, he needs a little faith. Every person has been given a different amount of faith. The faith that you have has nothing to do with you. So when you see someone with less faith, get over yourself and think they should have more faith and just help them with the faith that they've got. Meet them where they are, right? Because not everyone has the same amount of faith as you. Verse 4, for just as each one of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all of the parties. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's encouraging, encourage. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Whatever God has called you to do, that means whatever God has prepared you to do, whatever he has equipped you to do, whatever he has given you the faith that you need to do, do it. Whatever that is, do it, and do it well, as unto the Lord, right? As though you're doing it to God, for God himself. Thessalonians 5, verse 1 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He's saying, build people up, encourage them, help them increase their faith. As a matter of fact, you're doing a good job. Keep doing it. Jude 1:17 says, but dear friends, remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their ungodly desires. Boy, am I glad we're not living in a world like that. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. To bring you to eternal life. Be merciful. This is how we're supposed to treat them. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. That, I don't know, y'all. I read that, and that's how we're supposed to treat those that don't have the faith that we, who that don't have faith in Jesus. I mean, we're not supposed to go out there and just yell at them and tell them they should believe in this guy we're telling them about, right? As with all the gifts, if we do anything, any gift that we have, if we do it without love, what is it? Just annoying to people. Like, if love is not your motive for using these gifts, you're in the wrong business. Look for a new boss. God is probably not the boss for you. But if your motive is love, and you've been given the gift of faith, man, love people through exercising that faith, right? I got a pretty, I won't have time for it. But someday, I'm gonna, who knows the remembers the story of Jesus in the fig tree? Did you ever like think of that story and you're like, for crying out loud, like Jesus is a big bully, right? Like the poor, I felt sorry for the, I cried. I shed a tear for the poor fig tree. Like it just wasn't fair, right? I got some pretty cool insight, I think, about that stinking, lousy fig tree. But we're not going to talk about that today. Let's read that 22 again. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. What do you think that fire means? Right? If they're not following Jesus, be merciful to them. Snatching them from the fire, to others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupt flesh. How do we encourage others? How do we build up each other's faith, right? First, we pray. Because who brings faith? Who gives us faith? God, right? And if God is the only one that gives faith, if we want others to have more faith, we pray to God. We ask God to increase their faith. And then we can share times with them when God did a miracle in our lives, right? We share our testimonies of his goodness. We show them in history when God saved people. Maybe we tell stories about people in England who maybe ran an orphanage, and there was a time when they ran out of food. And miraculously, it just showed up, right? But you know what's even better than that? I'm going to tell the story wrong, but Fran's here, she'll correct me. What's even better than saying, hey, there was this guy in England, and this happened to him? We say, there was this time at the farm when we had this big hole and it needed to be filled. And it was a daunting task and we had no idea how we were going to do it. So Adam went out with a shovel and he starts filling it in. Steve goes out with a shovel and he starts filling it in. And he's like, oh, holy cow, maybe we should just make a pool. And he's thinking all this stuff. And then a little while later, a guy comes up on a bulldozer and he's like, I'm really, really, really sorry to bother you, but my bulldozer is broken and it won't turn left. Is it okay if I just go back there and run my bulldozer there so I can get it fixed? And they're like, yeah, sure. And he's like, oh, shoot. The only problem is there's a big pile of dirt in the way. Would it be a problem if I push the dirt into the hole? Thank you, God. Yeah, no problem at all. I told it wrong. There will be times when we are looking, I'll translate for her. There will be times when we are looking for people to help us and they won't come. But I can assure you, it is always better to have the God of the universe help you than every single person on the face of the earth, right? High five?
I bet you after he filled out a hole, his left ear got fixed.
Now that would be awesome. If after the dude in the bulldozer filled the hole in, miraculously his track was fixed, Al would have sent him a bill. I've got batteries. Okay. So I don't even know where we are. Oh, yeah. So we tell stories about people like George Mueller. We tell them what he's done in our lives. So, Friday at youth group, I always have a time for testimonies. In my opinion, personal testimony is way more important than anything else I could tell you, honestly. So if someone says, hey, I've got a story about what God has done in my life, I always prioritize that. And recently, we haven't had a lot of them. And I was like, y'all, you are not looking hard enough. Because, let's be honest, God does miracles in our lives every single day. But we don't always recognize them. And sometimes to our shame, when we do recognize them, we kind of just are like, okay, great. I remember a time when I was driving probably too fast for the weather conditions. It was raining, it was snowing out, and I was going, and my car went into a spin. This is a long time ago. And it went into like a spin. And I was going down 205 like this. And I was like, oh boy. And I'm turning the wheel this way. And I come around and I'm like, going this way. And then I would come and I kind of went almost all the way, but I never went around. I never went fully around. I no sooner got that corrected. And I knew it was God. I patted myself on the back. I was like, well, some good driving, Dennis. That was stinking awesome. Like, it was a miracle that y'all are even looking at me right now. I could have died. I took credit for it. Stupid. Yeah, we need to tell people of what God has done for us, what he's doing in our lives. And that's what we're going to do on August 12th at 4 p.m. at Mueller Plaza. We are going down there. We are going to worship. New Wine is going to lead worship for 2 hours on Main Street, Oneonta. We are going to proclaim to our community what God has done in us, because we know he can do it in everyone, right? So come down. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be warm. It's going to be sunny. There's not going to be any rain. It's going to be beautiful. We are going to lift the name of Jesus up. So that's what we did last week. Last week after church, we went and had church in the park. And we gathered. We hung out. We played with other people. And then we just, right in Niwa Park, we worshiped, we talked. We talked about Jesus, what he's done. It was just a good time. We need to, it is important that we build each other up constantly. Never, ever do we stop building people up. What's the opposite of building people up? Shame on you. If you tear people down, shame on me when I tear people down. You are not doing what you're called to do. You are doing quite the opposite. You are doing the work of the devil. Stop it. There, I'm off my soapbox. Why do we need to constantly build up each other's faith? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who wants you dead. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy every part of you, everything about you. I need another volunteer. Sean. Okay, no, Holden, come up here. Abby, I need you too. You stay right here. Actually, no, you go down there. I need Sean. You stay right there. I'm going to need you in a little bit. Right here. You look this way. You look this way.
What are you doing?
Put your arms out. Look that way. Okay, arms out. Okay, that was perfect. Okay, thank you. Now you're here. Arms out. Come on. Okay, that was perfect. I should have told people what I was doing, but I never do that because I don't want it to be a surprise. Now, what was different? I didn't need you. I thought I might need you. What was different about that situation? Now, Sean, I felt his muscles. They're there. He's bigger than I am. He could have very easily caught Abby. But you know what I whispered in Abby's ear? I said, he's probably going to drop you. Has anybody ever heard a voice that went against what the Word of God said? What do we do in those situations, right? I mean, it's hard. It's hard when we get a doctor's report and says, hey, you've got cancer. Or hey, you're losing stuff. It's hard when we hear voices in our head that goes against the Word of God. And that's why we need to continually build each other up, right? When Amy had cancer, I didn't think for a second she was going to die. Because I knew God had promised health. I knew he was going to heal her. I knew she was going to come through that stronger. And so did she. Like, it's hard. You've heard her say, cancer was one of the best things that's happened to me. Because when you put your faith in God and his promises, and he comes through, then you're encouraged for the bigger thing. Now, if you've never experienced any faith and you get a diagnosis, if when you get a cut on your finger, that's a bad example. If you, every time God tells you a promise, if you run to the world to solve it, you're not building up your faith. And I'm not saying that the world doesn't have some solutions. I'm not saying that God doesn't use physicians. I'm saying we need to build up our faith. So when tough times come, and they will come, we can go through them the correct way, right? I like Paul's reaction to trials in Acts 28, verse 1. It says, once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta, because they didn't have a big welcome to Malta sign. They had to wait to actually get to shore. thank you. Paul is in prison at this point. He's just gone through months of stormy seas, and just they're moving him on a boat. They don't have like airplanes back then, so it's a long process. There's weather and shipwreck and people that want to kill him. Like, you might say that he's going through a trial, right? Anyone go through trials? So they finally, throughout these trials, God is telling Paul, I got you. He's telling Paul, this is what I need you to do. You will make it through this. And Paul's just believing him over and over. So verse 2 says, the islanders showed us an unusual... Go back and read the whole story. I don't have time for it. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. They must have been in upstate New York. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for they thought he had escaped the sea. The goddess Justice had not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off of the fire and suffered no ill effects. Do you know why he suffered no ill effects? First of all, it's not because he was really strong and had this. He had just gone like 14 days without any food, and then was like, oh, we should probably eat something, the last of it. And, you know, so then they ate a little bit, and then a couple days later, the shipwreck, and they go onto this thing. So he's not exactly His immune system is probably not boosted like it should be. He hadn't been taking his multivitamins or his, what's that stuff Amy takes? Airborne. She's addicted to it. But they didn't have all this stuff, so his immune system is down. That's not why he suffered no ill effect. Are vipers, it was a viper, are vipers poisonous? Yeah, very poisonous. The reason he didn't suffer any ill effects is he knew a guy, right? He knew a guy who was he just so happened to be the Son of God. And Jesus said right before he went back to heaven, he said, these signs will follow them that believe. They will cast demons out of people. They will drive demons out in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. Vipers are snakes. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when poison comes at them, it will not harm them. Right? And then he says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I got to tell you, Paul believed it. So when the viper bit him, he didn't freak out. He didn't say, give me that EpiPen. Not that EpiPens do anything for that. But he didn't go crazy. He was like, I'm on a mission. I got stuff to do. And he went on doing the thing that God had called him to do. Unlike the fig tree. But Paul just shook it off and he went on and he suffered no ill effect. Verse 6, the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happened to him, they changed their mind and said he must be a god. They were close. He was a child of the Most High God. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after he prayed, he placed his hands on him. The same hand that Satan tried to take him out with, the same hand that Satan tried to make it where he would not do the will of God, where he would not do his calling, he used that same hand that, because he knew his position with Christ, had no ill effect, he used that hand and laid it on him and healed him. When this happened, you won't even be able to guess what happened next in the story. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island, they came and they were cured. Can you imagine if when crap comes at us, we're like, yeah, whatever, I got stuff to do. I'm not going to let that get in my way. And we continue walking in the path and the plan that God has for us. They're going to look. The world is going to look and say, man, they're going to go from, this dude's a nutcase, take him away, to, wow, I think he might be onto something. And then eventually they're going to be like, okay, I need what you have. I need to know about this guy that you're talking about. Tell me about Jesus, right? Did God have a plan for Paul? Adam says, oh yeah. Did God have a plan for you?
Yes.
Guess what? He has the same plan for you. I don't think Paul's special. I don't think there's anything more special about Paul than every single person here. And God is the same. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. God had a plan for Paul. He has a plan for you too. All we have to do is walk. All we have to do is really believe. Now, part of the reason that Abby had faith in me is she knows I love her. She knows I would die for her. She knows that I would not let any harm. Did the same obstacle, was the obstacle still there? Yeah, I didn't change it. I didn't move anything. It was the same exact situation. She just knew me better than Sean probably. She knew I wouldn't drop her. Now, what happened when I told her, he's probably going to drop you? Did her faith stop? No. But it changed. Her faith no longer went into the one that was going to save her. Her faith switched to the one that was lying to her. Right? So when we listen to those voices in our head, it's not that our faith is any less. We're just putting our faith in the wrong source. Right? So we need to remember who we're going to put our faith in, right? Did you have something? Yeah.
Test.
It works.
So Romans 10, starting in 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" So when you said, where does faith come from? It comes from God. I heard this verse. I remember this verse. So then faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
And hearing by the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's what we need to continually do, is people need to hear the word of God, right? So we are going to, we're going to, if you want your faith increased, Pastor Roddy and I, we're just going to come up here and we're going to be over here. We're just going to pray. We'll do that during communion. So we're going to have Ben come up and do communion, and then we will be over here. If you want to, we're just going to pray that God would increase your faith.